Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brad and Botty Podcast. Bottomed. How are you, my friend? I feel like I know you really well this week. You've been in the paper a bit, mate.
Well, it's 2024. Yeah, I just decided I need to improve my profile.
I got a couple of emails from people going, is he still alive? I was like, yeah, he's good. He's
here. Well, barely. Hanging on by a thread, Brad. Hanging on by a thread. Yeah.
Well, listen, we're back. 2024 it is, yeah. And we're excited. And can I just give a huge shout out to our good mate, Chuck Harmison. Chuck grabbed me when I was in Illawarra the other day and said, where the hell is the Brad and Body Podcast? You're not allowed time off. And I absolutely love it.
Christmas, New Year, come on. Jeez, Chuck.
Chuck's like, you can have time off when the season's over. Good old Chuck. Remembering Chuck wrote, what did he write the other week? That was brilliant when he had a crack at some player or something.
Oh, it was about, you know, I think it was Dejan Vasiljevic talking about the tough draw. And two games in 17 days or something. It was too much, whatever it was, you know, something
Chuck,
like that.
You're a legend. Love your lots, mate. Well, we're into round 11, or coming into round 11 of the WNBL, round 15 of the NBL. Body, let's start with the WNBL.
Okay.
Obviously, look, no real shocks, I guess. I mean, everything sort of went the way. But
What? Well, you think Canberra beating Southside was not a shock?
Oh, sorry, yes. I thought you were going to say Boomers losing to Southside. No, you're right. Sorry. I missed that one. Everything else, yes. Completely fair. Oh, that was huge, actually. Yeah, let's start with that bloody game. What actually happened? I did forget about that. I watched, because I'm not working at the moment. I've watched all the WNBL games. I've loved them. And I was at the Sydney-Melbourne game, and we'll talk about that soon. So it's been a fantastic round. But, yeah, Capitals, man. They and just, you know, run, Jade Melbourne, Alex Sharp.
Yep. Yeah, Sharpie had a great game.
Yeah.
Probably the best game. But Jade's been really consistent. I mean, I don't know how the MVP voting works in the WNBL, but she'd have to be a big chance with the way she's playing. She'd be very high among the favourites.
Yeah, it is interesting because they changed that in the NBL. I remember many years ago when Brian Conklin won it in Townsville.
Yep.
You remember there was all that uproar, hang on, they came last, and, you know, but he got all the votes because he was the standout player. I'm not suggesting that of Jade Melbourne but what I'm saying is when she's playing the way she's playing, she would get a heap of votes every game. No question.
That's an interesting one that we should segue into, Brad, about what determines the most valuable player, because there are people who say, oh, if you're not in the top few teams, well, you can't be that valuable, but you might be carrying a whole team of castaways, playing some of the best basketball in your team finishes last, second, last.
I am a believer if there's a team doing really well and there's a player in that team doing really well. You know, you can pick up a number of players that are like that. You know, Canada probably is the first one that comes to mind, to be honest with you, with the Boomers. Yep. But then you can go to Townsville and, you know, Reed and, you know, Sammy. Yeah, oh, what a pickup she's been. Anyway, all right, let's talk. Well, we'll stay with the South fight. That's a huge loss for them. They didn't need that.
They lost twice on the weekend, round, I should say, because Melbourne got them as well. And that clinched the Michelle Timms trophy for the Boomers, but also clinched the season series because they're now 2-0 up, even if they drop the third game. In the event of a tie, win-loss record tie, Melbourne gets the highest spot. So that was a big game for Southside to lose. Yeah. And then again to lose at home to Canberra, that's really jolted their that smacked their season in the face.
I'm going to say I agree with you, but I still think it doesn't really matter because I can't see the Flames, Spirit, Lightning and Caps making a run to knock them out. You know, the Flames are probably the Flames is the only one that can. I'm not convinced. Can. Yeah, I just don't know. Man. I'm not convinced yet.
Well, two rounds ago, the Flames best flogged Melbourne by 28 in Melbourne, okay?
Yeah,
so their best is pretty good. But is this a Sydney epidemic where they just can't seem to be consistent? I mean, it's the same story with the Kings, isn't it? So you sort of go, look, the personnel looks great. We just can't string it together for 40 minutes on a consistent basis. It's an interesting one. I mean, I think having Tess Madgen with a knee injury in and out sort of thing does unsettle you a bit because she is a good player. She's got to play.
I'm going to say it goes to show me, and you can add the Kings to this, is making that many changes. Interim coach and five players, and then you talk coach and five players or whatever it is for the Kings and Flames. sometimes it's hard to mix that, you know, and potentially you might need a second year. With the Flames, they look like they're just that one, two step short. I haven't played with that person long enough.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. You've got it. That's pretty much what it is. Whereas with the Kings, I remember someone, I don't know who, but someone telling me a while back that the Sydney Kings would be playing their best basketball about now.
No, and, I said January. You know, I know you're having a crack at me, but I did not say what year. I did not say what year.
Yeah, next year under Gorge.
No, okay. You're right. And that was me, and I still stand by it. I was shocked the way they came out of the season. But anyway, we'll talk up there. I still can't believe it. But look, going
very
all guns blazing.
Very consistent.
I know we'll come to this in a second. Two massive games coming up for them.
Against the same team, in the same round, in the same venue.
Yes.
It's just, who does the draw? Seriously, who does the scheduling? This is just so ridiculous. Anyway, I mean, because it's big. Like, what if a Sammy Wickham rolls her ankle in the first game? Or Jordan Canada gets hit in the head again and has to sit out, like, the second game 3 days later, 4 days later or something.
Let me throw this at you. Is anyone else can make the grand final, the Fire and Boomers, in your opinion?
Oh yeah. I think Southside, if it could get going, it just doesn't seem to be able to get into a rhythm.
Yeah, I don't see it.
They're a little bit inconsistent, but you see, the same is true of Melbourne. They've just come off probably their worst little patch in a while, and they lost to Bendigo a couple of weeks ago. You don't really expect that. But then, by the same token, Southside and Sydney haven't been able to make up any ground because Sydney goes and drops to Adelaide, Southside drops to Canberra, so they can't make up the ground.
Correct.
And now Melbourne gets its players back and it gets its act together again, and off they go. So maybe
that's the thing. I had a great chat with Chris Lucas. I love it when they come to Sydney because we're a massive fan of Chris and what he does with his program and stuff. And he knows these two games are big and, sort of not really on the record or off the record. He just said he thinks they're definitely heading in the right direction now. You know, he can see that, when he says that, he can feel the click, he can feel it on the defensive end, he can feel that we are going. So I'm really looking forward to this. My gut feeling says whatever happens, it'll be split. Those two teams are very good, and I think they'll bounce back.
Well, Christy Wallace warmed up apparently in Sydney, but I've been told she won't be playing this round. So that's still someone they've got to accommodate back into the lineup because they promoted Monique Conti into the starting five, and she's been playing really well as a result.
Well, of course, that's good feedback. Had good feedback about her on the show and stuff. And I went down to Illawarra and Dave, I was like, man, you had my girlfriend on there. It was really good. It was really nice. So
yeah, really got a mention. You got a shout out.
Yeah, we loved Mon doing well. All right. What else saw your, what else saw everything in the WNBL? Obviously no other shocks besides that one, I guess. With
no,
Capitals,
but I think the shock for me was that Sydney and Southside as championship contenders allegedly in the preseason, both lost twice. That surprised me. Player of the game for me, or player of the round, women's player, was Jade Melbourne. She's led Canberra again, 17 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, terrific performance. I mean, Alex Sharp was great in that game too, but I'd give it to Jade. Which way are you leaning?
I'm going for Steph Reid. I think she's been a constant for Townsville all year. I think she's been great. And I thought this round, I thought she was really good. Just one of those settlers, if you call it. Like, when you need something, I'll go get it for you. So I really like what she's bringing. And,
See, it's the people in South Australia, they're all settlers. The people in New South Wales, where you're from, they're all convicts. That's the difference between us, mate.
Sorry, you were just a bit delayed there, mate. I didn't hear what you said. All right, let's go on. I want to talk about next round. Just give me your tips while I've got you. Okay,
go ahead.
And then we'll go on with some WNBL. Bendigo versus Adelaide at Bendigo.
Bendigo, I've got to get that.
Let's go on the record. Boomers Townsville. I'm going Boomers at home.
Yeah.
Both are at home, by the way. There's two games, so give me both. I'm going Melbourne game one, Townsville game two. Who you got?
I'm going Townsville game one, Melbourne game two.
Oh God, what a shock. You're not from Adelaide, are you? Okay, Capitals versus Lynx at Capitals too, by the way.
Yeah, I've got to go to Perth because, no, I'm going with Canberra.
Oh, I was going to go Caps. Yeah, I'm going Caps.
Yeah.
This is a big game, Southside versus the Flames.
Yeah, well, I think they're both going to lose. The way they're travelling, it goes to quadruple overtime and they just surrender and say, look, just give us half a point.
Sorry, guys, we've got to get the next game on.
Where's it being played, Brad?
At Southside in Melbourne.
Oh, look, I'm just going to lean towards the Fires because I think their best is probably a little bit better than Sydney's.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. Boomers Townsville was set again. Then the Flames come home in a game that I'm really looking forward to. It's a pink day. For the McGrath Foundation and, of course, Tiana, one of our favourites in the Flames, now an assistant coach. So there's a doubleheader, Sydney versus Perth in the WNBL, followed by Sydney versus New Zealand in the NBL, and it's a pink day. Shout out to Men's Club, who I'm getting a pink jacket for. I hope it arrives in time. Excellent. I'm really looking forward to that.
You can wear it down Oxford Street. You'll be very popular.
Again. I'm really looking forward to that game because I think it'll be a special day. But I'm going to go Flames at home versus Perth because of the aura and the day.
Yeah, I reckon that might be the clincher because Perth has already beaten Sydney twice. Yes. So they've won the season series. I think there's just a bit more at stake for Sydney this time around. If they're going to make the playoffs, Perth is, well, maybe Southside, I don't know. There's a couple of teams they can take.
Actually, it's a good point you make then because one of the things Chris said was that was a double win for us on the weekend when they beat the Flames because they got the win and the split.
Yes.
So he said, you know, like he's just such an astute coach. Anyway, last game, Bendigo at home against the Caps. Bendigo, agreed? Both teams backing up.
Yeah. Oh, okay, we'll go with Bendigo.
No, go different. Do something.
You do Caps. You take Caps. Go on.
I got in first. Stop.
All right, I'll take the Caps. I'll take Jade Melbourne and Co. Melbourne and Canberra.
All right, that's the WNBL. Let's head over to the NBL, shall we? You've got anything more for the WNBL? No, good. No. Okay, let's go. All right, the NBL. Well, what a round that was. I don't know where to start because there's so many great games that happen, but I am going to start with what took your fancy in the games.
So my moment, or is that what we're saying?
No. I just want to hear about the games. Was there anything? We'll come to the moment.
I was really impressed to see Zylan Cheatham come back into form, throwing down dunks, hitting threes, you know, looking like the player he was prior to the injury. I don't know if it's a little too late now for New Zealand. It may be because their record's not brilliant. Let me just check what it is. It is 8-10. Oh, well, yeah, if they can still string a few together, they're still in the mix for sure. But that's what I liked. What about yourself?
Look, there was a couple of games I thought were brilliant. I'll give Brisbane kudos for getting that win. Thank you. Melbourne United, mate, with really Chris doing okay, like didn't have to do more. Ilian Delavadova that's Delavadova's best game I've seen him play.
Yep.
That was phenomenal. He was just.
Did you see game four of the NBA Championship?
Talking in Australia, mate. Come. And then what I also loved is Phoenix coming to Illawarra, three imports down, right? Everyone's expecting Illawarra to win. And their games, you'd normally think, two things happen, or it might, you know, some things can happen. One, Phoenix win and everyone goes, holy crap.
They've done it again.
Phoenix win. Or two, Illawarra scrape over the line in an ugly win and, geez, we got to get that done. What I'll give credit to this team for is they went whack with a cricket bat. Yeah. You know, we're now. Well,
you've got the cricket bat out again.
Well, David Warner doesn't need it. So we've got 6-2, right? So they've gone 6-2 since Tatum started. Yes. And they said, no, we're coming to playoffs. This is for sixth spot. And they didn't just beat them, they smacked them. That was a big statement. And of course, I'll finish and then you can answer that. Adelaide beating Melbourne was huge. Keep going.
I'll just say that there were moments in the game against the Phoenix where Illawarra went just a fraction casual, time out, get back on the track, let's get back, we're going to hammer this, don't. Like even when he put these younger guys on, you know, he had Lockie Oldbrick sort of leading the second string crew late in the game. They just a couple of bad shots, turnover, time out. Focus. Trying to be a championship contender here, not just a top six championship. So this has got to be better. I was extremely disappointed with Phoenix. I thought they were undisciplined. Mm. Now, it's one thing to have your three imports out. Nobody can dispute that was massive and that they were going to get hammered. But where was Ruben Tarangi? Where was Ben Eyre? Where was Matt Kenyon? You guys have got to lift. For that matter, where was Mitch Creek? Now, I cut Creek some slack because He's just come back. He's a week back from an injury. So, okay, yeah. he gets some nice numbers, some numbers that you'd be happy with in a regular season game generally.
I thought he needed 40.
Yeah, I thought,
well, I said that on air. I think he's going to go for 40-plus, and God bless Matty Russell gave me a bit of stick at halftime, and I said, no, you heard me wrong, 40 minutes, mate, not 40 points.
It's a good joke. It's worth repeating.
Yeah, it's not bad. Mate, Adelaide, got to give that credit in what was awesome to see. Was it the 98-99 or 98? I can't remember. All I know is it gave me chills when I saw that team because I played against them so much and they destroyed us every bloody time, Adelaide 36ers from that era. Jeez, it was good seeing that team there. And what a great win again.
Yep. That backcourt of Brett Maher and Darnell Mee, I think, is a little bit underestimated as one of the great backcourts of all time. The old mommy, how I love you.
Oh, God, you had to go there. look, my question, my answer to that would be, really, were they underrated? They certainly weren't in my eyes. I mean, mind you, I played against them and that's why. They were probably, there were certain people that you hated to play against, like you just knew, man, this was going to be tough. And that was those two for me.
Yeah.
Ricky Grace was another. I loved playing against D-Mac and Derek Rucker because I enjoyed, and Butch Hayes, because I enjoyed that, to be able to go against them. Not that I could stop them in ways, but I just enjoyed that competition. Yep. Yep. But with Brett Maher, he was just unguardable. Like that turnaround shot, Darnell Mee being five, six, whatever he is. So, you know, just they were a weapon, man. They were unbelievable.
And we're not even talking about Catalini or David Stiff or Kevin Brooks. Yeah. Unfortunately,
Rupert Satwell off the glass.
Paul Rees just setting screens and hitting people and doing what needed to be done to get Marzi open. Yeah, it was and well coached by Phil Smythe and Steve Brenny.
Let's talk here, Adelaide. But it was a great win and very happy for Scott Ninnis.
Me too. And that's the first time I've been excited about Adelaide in a long time. And I think it was the uniform. It maybe had something to do with it, but a nostalgia for a quarter of a century ago. But pretty much from the get-go, they controlled that game pretty much from start to finish. When they caught up with them there, it looked like, they hit the front. And I thought, well, okay, does Adelaide pack up now and fold the chairs and go home? But no, they came back. And then Jacob Wiley, who hadn't really done a lot because it was mainly Vasiljevic, Trey Kill and Isaac Humphries. And then Jacob Wiley late in the third and through the fourth sort of led the way. It was a terrific win. And correct me if I'm wrong, Brad, if you can remember this, but I don't recall a last place team beating a first place team like this, not since Sean Dennis was coaching Townsville. Wow. And that team finished last, and it was the best last place team of all time because it had beaten every team above it.
I'm trying to think now. Can't think of it. You're right. Yeah. No, it's not. That was a fantastic win. Bad loss for New Zealand. They didn't need that. They wanted that win. That was, you know, Perth, give them credit. I'm sure there'll be, you know, a lot of free throws, man. Jeez, that was just poor. Look, I'll be honest, I didn't get to watch the game because I was at the Kings.
Of course.
And I was A, watching the Flames, and B, I didn't get the game because we were doing, pre-records and everything. But to be able to give Bryce Cotton 17 free throws, man, like he scored 31 points. Like, you know, he was 1 of 5 from the three-point line. He didn't kill you in ways that he normally does. So I didn't watch the game enough. I'd love your opinion if you saw it on
I did. I watched it.
Was it bad defense? You know, like was they just out of position?
I have a thing about the NBL that I think is a real consistent thing that happens is if you drive to the basket, the chances are there's a foul is going to be called. Whether there is a foul or not, the chances are there's a foul going to be called. Now you can say, well, there are occasions when that doesn't happen, because I've seen Nathan Sobey go through and take a shot and throw himself on the floor and do a twist and a roll and yell out, hey, and not get the call. But I think that's for different reasons. But generally speaking, if someone of a Bryce Cotton or a Chris Goulding level marquee goes to the hoop, they're going to get to the foul line. Yeah. And I thought maybe half of his trips were legit and the other half were just the way the game's called today.
Okay, well, fair enough.
And that's nothing on Bryce. I mean, Bryce is just playing the game.
No, he's doing exactly He's doing exactly what he should do. 26 to 19 was the foul count. So that wasn't a huge difference. I mean, seven when you talk about it. But to have a difference in free throws, you know, 39 free throws shot for Perth, 26 for New Zealand. I want to throw something at you. I am a massive fan of Lamb, Anthony Lamb.
Me too.
I think in this day and age, you look at players like that where they're, you know, sort of like solid, based on the floor rather than the athleticism, like a Cheatham, using an example. Next one that comes to mind is Gary Clark from Adelaide. Oh, sorry, Illawarra. Very similar type of game, right? If New Zealand make the run and get into the playoffs and go through, I think Lamb is the only one that can fight Bryce for MVP because I think he is that good. And if they get there, he'll continue to be that good.
Interesting because I don't think, you know, Bryce would have polled too many votes in the opening few rounds when Perth was struggling. At the same time, Lamb wasn't playing it because Justinian Jessop had that spot. So yeah, they're actually on a pretty even keel in terms of games they've played than they would have polled in. Lamb is a really good player. And honestly, I think they got lucky. They got a bit of a blessing that Jessop got injured because Lamb is a way better player.
Mate, he had 27 points in 34 minutes. 60% from the field, 10 free throws, eight rebounds, six assists. What a game.
Yeah, and pretty much we come to expect that from him. So I think
he's
kind of...
I can't wait to see him because I'm calling Sunday. I can't wait for that game. I love him.
Grand final rematch too, replay of the old grand final. That'll have a bit of spice on it.
I'm still not convinced that McDowell White and Jackson Cartwright can play together. Jesus. That's the two that I'm struggling with because we spoke about McDowell White. We love him, right? We love him. And I'm just, and I think Parker Jackson Cartwright is an outstanding player. Yeah. I just haven't seen it. Yes, there's been injuries and I understand all of that, but I haven't seen, to me, that's the difference. If they click, you're going to get Cheatham do it because Cheatham's playing great. You know, Lamb, we've spoken about, you'll get your other players doing their little bits and pieces. But if those two can click, that to me is the difference of them maybe making the play-in, maybe winning that first round and out to going back to the grand final and being a real story.
Yeah. Also, Mantis Rapstavicius is doing very well now.
Yes.
He had his struggles early in the season in knowing what Modi Mayo's expectation might be because there were a few times he went in and got whipped out straight away. It's like, if you're not playing D-Sun, you're not out there.
Yeah.
Coming from a European background, I know defense is not our default position. It's shooting the ball, especially the Baltics, the Lithuanians, Latvians, Estonians. They love shooting. They're great shooters. Yeah, he's had to make the adjustment and has. He's a very effective player. They still got Finn Delaney to come back too, although I think he's been a bit disappointing this season. But
I don't know if he's carrying an injury or something. He's just not the Finn Delaney that left, was he? So,
No, I expect him to be better after an overseas experience. But anyway, so...
I got a touch here on it and then we move on and I want to get your best moment and nodge nasty. The Kings, what do you think?
I think they're jesters right now. Yeah, really. Okay, I mean, we're still in the King's Court because you've got both. But, look, I just think their commitment defensively is so ordinary. And then at times offensively it's like just one on five. Whether that one is Jalen Adams I feel for Denzel Valentine because I just don't think he's being used well. Then I feel for Angus Glover. I mean, I don't think Sean Bruce is a starter on a championship-winning team. I think he's an important piece. But if he's starting for you, you're not winning the championship. Yeah. And I don't mean that's not a knock on Sean.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. So I don't think they're getting it right. And I think until you get it right, you lose.
In the last 10 games, they're, 3-7, mate?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
they did all their work in the first half of the season, the first bit.
Yeah, they're
because they were 7-3 in the first 10, and look, 3-7 in the next.
They're just giving up too many points, and that's as simple as it is. When you're giving up that many points, you're going to struggle. Anyway, mate, give me your best moment.
This is good for me watching you suffer. It's a good thing. It's a really good thing. Listeners, right now,
Brian is mopping up his tears. See the smile on his face, listeners. The guy is just, hey, sit down. Stop jumping up and down, buddy. It's okay.
All right. So what are we looking for? My best moment? I think it was Adelaide beating Melbourne. Yep. Just that whole event, the uniforms, the throwback, the fact they got up, the bottom place team beating the top place team. That to me was my moment. It's not a club thing because, as you know, I'm a real big Tasmania and New Zealand fan, so I'm not really on the Sixers. But that was a hell of a performance and great one for Scott. Quickly, just saying, I think that's Scotty Ninnis' best win as a 36ers coach, taking in the 2 years that he coached.
Okay,
that was an outstanding win. You?
Me? I love the Rocco coming on and turning it up in for Brisbane.
Mr. Zekarski.
I love him. I love Rocco. He came on. I mean, I can't remember the whole thing I was calling the game, but it would be like three, four baskets, three, four blocks, and then Jonah Bolden getting blocked, but then going back and dunking it against him and stuff like this. That commitment between the Rocco and Bolden thing, and then to add to that, in the second quarter, whatever it was, and he just like puts his hand up and goes, I can't go anymore, I'm stuffed. Yeah, like, it was just gold.
Well, he's 17, he's still got a boy's body, but his enthusiasm and he's such an exciting prospect. I can't think of someone as exciting as him for the last 10 years, really.
Totally agree. And we get him next year. Don't forget, because he's not eligible for the draft next year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's too young.
So he's back for another year. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yep. All right. You got a nudge. Nudge nasty. Now you got a Rosen Rattler or anything?
I've got a nudge nasty, and I'm looking at him. But my Rosen Rattler, I am going to throw it out to the Pink Day that is coming this Sunday. I think it's absolutely amazing. I actually, not trying to put, but I know Glenn McGrath quite well. His son actually works for me. And I love what they've been able to do at the Sydney Test, right? And it's a really, really good test. And I love what they do. And to bring that into basketball, I don't know if you've been to the Sydney Kings website. There's a little photo, tees on there, Tiana, obviously, with Kings owners and some players and stuff. And they're on the field at the SCG. And now they're bringing that to the Sydney Kings game and Flames game. And I'm so excited to see that game. I think it's a great round. I know the week after that, if I'm not mistaken, is Pride round. I love what the NBL are doing here. And whilst the Pink is not the whole league, I get that. And it could be one day, you don't know. But I love the fact I went to the test match. I bought my Jane McGrath, hat or the beanie that you bought and donate a seat. It's called a virtual seat.
Yep.
And I think what they do, because it's not all about sport, right? It's about life.
They were doing that in Perth too, the Perth Wildcats.
I loved it when they did it for Trevor Gleeson's wife. I thought that was brilliant. So congratulations. Love the fact that the Kings and Flames have done this. And for me, I guess you can call it a rattler. I don't know, but I just wanted to mention that I'm so excited for this weekend.
Can I just follow up by saying that if I was to die suddenly, I would really, really quickly want to erase my online history. Okay. Because I don't want people to see just how often I go to the Sydney Kings website. I practically live on it. But seriously, I love it. So when you say, I don't know if you've been to the website, mate, that's the thing I want killed if I should go suddenly. Don't let anyone notice. Speaking of which, I'll move on to my nudge nasty. Goodness gracious. And that is, I'm staying with the WNBL because I just think their programming is ridiculous. Like, does somebody actually look at the draw or does a computer just spit it out? Like, on December 31st, we had Townsville hosting Perth. Now, they're the two extremes distances of the league. We've got Townsville hosting Perth. And then on January 3rd, we've got Townsville hosting Perth. That's 4 days later, 3 days later. It's just freaking ridiculous. What do you do? Do you fly all the way home or do you stay in accommodation that the club's paying for? Like, what kind of – who thinks up a draw like this? And now we've got it again this weekend with Melbourne playing Townsville twice. So what is Townsville going to go home? No, of course, they're going to stay there.
That's a real interesting one. And my question would be, and as you're saying that, I'm like, I wonder if it would be cheaper to forget that it's New Year's and everything, but let's use this weekend. Is it cheaper to leave Townsville there for what, three extra nights or whatever it is, rather than flying them all back and forward?
Yeah, probably.
It would be an interesting one.
either way, it's hard on the ownership. It's not, hard on the players.
Yes. It's not fair on the players over New Year's. No, I agree with that. Yeah. No, it's good.
So that's my last deal.
All right, let me throw you player of the round for the NBL, please.
Oh, player of the round for the NBL. Well, I don't want to sound like I've got an Adelaide bias, because then I'll start sounding like you with your Sydney Kings. But I did think the way Dejan Vasiljevic started the first quarter with 15 points against Melbourne really sort of sent a message that we're here to play and here to stay.
So basically what you just said is you don't want to sound biased, and I don't want to sound like Brad Rosen as a Sydney King, but yet you chose an Adelaide player. You could have just said, DJ, you didn't have to bring me into this at all, because it wasn't about me, Botty, although it always is every other time.
Well, you know, I was going to go with Bryce Cotton, because Bryce is just the most reliable player.
But you didn't. You went for an Adelaide boy.
Because who are you going for, Brad? Who are you going for?
I can tell you that you can keep my history, because I ain't looking up the Adelaide 36ers in my website history.
So who are you going for?
I'm going for Bryce Cotton. As a very secondary, I would have gone Lamb if they won, because I thought he was brilliant, but they didn't. Yeah. And I have to shout out to Nathan Sobey. He was great against Brisbane, except sometimes that little erratic shots that he takes. Shula subs him out when it happens, but those erraticness late in the games where it's the Steph Curry, I'm going to put a dagger down someone's heart. If he makes them, it's great. But if he's not, they keep him in the game. But he was brilliant against the Kings. He did play well.
Now, talking about online histories, I absolutely think you would have a wet dream if Bryce Cotton is a free agent joined the Sydney Kings. That's all I'm going to say.
Can you have them twice?
Let's get out of here. Oh, no, quick. Come on, quick. That's just one word answer. Let's pick out winners for this round and let's get out of here.
Yes. Okay. Well, we will start with, obviously, hang on. Sorry. You got me there. Okay. Right. Brisbane at home. Oh, we're recording this on a Wednesday, people. So hopefully we'll be out soon. But we will be calling this before and you would have had the result. But I'm saying Tasmania to beat Brisbane. Who you got?
I'll go the other way. Why not? Okay. There's going to be a tight game. Yep, I'll go the other
Adelaide at home versus the Kings. That's going to be a ripper tomorrow night.
Vasiljevic against Sydney. I hope he doesn't get it into his head that he's got to be a one-man band. And if he doesn't and he just plays as well as he has been, Adelaide gets the upset.
Mate, can you see what I'm doing? I'm flipping a coin. Adelaide to win. Okay. Right, New Zealand versus Melbourne. Yeah, God. I know. Oh, in New Zealand.
And Melbourne hasn't been travelling the last two of its last three.
New Zealand, no doubt for me. I just think after last week as well, they can't drop another.
All right, go with that.
Okay. Tasmania at home versus Illawarra, a cracker.
Jeez. Oh, So you got Tasmania, Brisbane, then you got Tasmania, Illawarra, then you got Illawarra, Brisbane. So they got a little mini series going in this round that's really crucial to all of them. Mm. At home, I think it's hard to beat Tasmania at home.
No, I'm going the Hawkies. I think they'll keep going. Good. Cairns at home versus Adelaide. I'm going Cairns.
Me too. I think they just have to get – if they don't get that, they're not playing finals.
Perth versus Phoenix. I'm going Perth. I have no idea who's playing for the Phoenix. They probably have no idea who's playing for the Phoenix. So I did hear that they were going to try and fly in one Body Nodge to see if he's willing to, you know, post up a little bit. But Who you got, Perth or South?
Just the thought of that got me a little bit posted up, Brad. Jeez. That hasn't happened for quite some time. I'm going with Perth.
Okay, good. Brisbane at home versus Illawarra. Oh, my God. I don't know, but I'm going to go. If it goes the way I'm thinking with who wins and who losses, I'm going Brisbane to get that game.
Well, yeah, and so because I've gone the other way, I go Illawarra. But that just goes to show how even this comp is and how last round, as we saw, bottom team beat the top team. So take what we're saying here with a grain of salt.
Well, don't we always? Sydney versus New Zealand. Oh, my God. I need to see the two games prior. But even if I do see the two games prior, it's probably irrelevant anyway because these two teams are so up and down. Outside of a really poor injury, I think the Kings will get it on the back of a pink day. What I mean by an injury is in some big, like lambs out, you know, like something. But yeah, I'm going to go Kings, but not with much heart. I'm just thinking if they lose to Adelaide, and that would be mayhem. I mean, in Sydney, they're calling for the coach's head in every.
I know, I've seen that. Yeah,
because I know you do see that. You're on the website.
I've had to live there. Please, somebody wipe my online history if I have a heart attack. All right. That's it. I'm not picking for that game because it's just too hard. I maybe go with King Kebab, Anthony Lamb, to lead the win.
Did he just say that out loud? Viewers, we love you. Thank you. Listeners, we love you. Thank you so much. Another shout out to Chucky Harmison. But thank you. We are getting some fantastic feedback. Loving doing the pod. I even enjoy. No, I don't. Yeah, I like
Most of the feedback is please stop, but we're not going to listen to that. We're going to continue.
Yeah, but as if we're going to listen to our wives. Why would we start now? Everyone have a fantastic week. We'll be back next week and we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
I've been reading up. You're on a lot of websites and social medias at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why people across the ditch would get excited about some pissant blogger in downtown nowhere Adelaide. So, yeah, it's intriguing to see the reaction. But as some people have said, I very, very rarely, in fact, I can't remember when, write something if I don't know it to be true.
Amen, brother.